So the Mary who loved Jesus as a son, and the Mary who was liberated from the spirits, and the Mary who was liberal in her support, here we have the Mary who learned from her Saviour. These verses are unique to Luke. You'll not read these verses in Matthew, Mark, or John. And Jesus is in the village of Bethany, where we have this lovely little family of siblings. No mention of mother or father, they're probably dead. Unmarried sisters and an unmarried brother just live in the same home. Lazarus and Martha and Mary. A humble home, but a holy home. A home that loved Christ, and Christ loved them. John 11 verse 5 says, "Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus." So this was a lovely relationship that they had with each other. They lived each other. They loved each other as siblings. Each of them loved the Lord. This was the Lazarus that died, who 4 days after his death was raised from the dead. Jesus loved them and they loved him. And that is a beautiful situation. It's a beautiful environment. One has said a cottage where there is grace is more pleasant in God's sight than a palace where there is none. And you can see in verse 39 what Mary was doing when Jesus visited this home. And as far as we know, this was the only time that Jesus was in this home. You'll read of the trio again in John chapters 11 and 12, but back in Bethany, but this time he is in the house of Simon the leper. He's one of our Simons that we'll consider in a few weeks' time, so we'll not mention anything about him now. So this is the only time that Jesus was in this house. And certainly Mary was going to make the most of his visit. She wasn't going to waste any opportunity. She sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Now, what was Martha doing? Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, she must have got into a fluster, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? I need help. You know, tell her to help me. She'll not take it from me, but she'll take it from you." And Jesus answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha." You can just picture that. "Martha, Martha, don't fluster yourself. You're worried and troubled about many things. But one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her." The Saviour was more or less saying to Martha, "Look, you just leave what you're doing and you come and sit beside her. Come and sit at my feet and hear my word." Martha was too busy. I have no doubts that these two unmarried sisters, they each had chores to do. I had two great aunts, my father's aunts, Aunt Martha and Aunt Maggie. I just grew up with them. And Aunt Martha, she was the cook. She was the baker. They were unmarried, the sisters. And interestingly enough, their other sister, well, they were from a big family, but their other sister was my grandmother, and her name was Mary. So there was a Martha and Mary in my paternal side of the family. And Aunt Martha, she did the cooking, she did the baking. Aunt Maggie, or Margaret, well, we just always knew her as Maggie, she did the shopping for the cooking and the cleaning of the little home, the two up, two down in Lisburn. And that was all right. And then Aunt Martha died in June 1976. She was 73 years of age. And I remember my father, and a couple of his brothers, a couple of his cousins. Maggie not too long after. She can hardly boil a kettle. It was all done for her. She'll not but too long after. And the uncles that said that, she outlived them. My Aunt Maggie lived until she was about 93. But they lived like that. You know, one did one thing, one did the other. And I've no doubts that Mary and Martha, they got on well, they shared the chores. But just on this morning or this afternoon, Jesus had come. And Mary wasn't going to miss the opportunity of him coming. Now you know when visitors come to your home, maybe unexpectedly. If you're out in the garden, if you're cutting the grass or weeding or whatever you're doing, and somebody calls unexpectedly, do you just bring them into the living room and say, and I'll just sit here and you go back out and do what you're doing? No. You would show hospitality. You would stop what you're doing. You would give your visitor or visitors hospitality. And then when they leave an hour or so later, then you can carry on where you left off. But Jesus was in the home of Martha, and she just carried on with her business. Mary had stopped what she was doing. No doubt before Jesus arrived, she was helping Martha. But when Jesus had come, Mary stopped and she rested at the feet of Jesus to learn from his word. Martha was busy. And one has said it is vitally important that we spend time at the feet of Jesus every single day, letting him share his word with us. Unless we meet Christ personally and privately each day, we will soon end up like Martha, busy but not blessed. Jesus calmed Martha. Martha, Martha. You're worried and troubled about many things, but he commended Mary. But one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her. And I know that our lives can be Martha lives. We're busy with many things. And even though we have Martha lives, you need to have each day a Mary moment. You need to stop what you're doing. And you need to rest. And you need to feed your soul on the Word of God. We call it maybe a quiet time. We call it time to recharge the batteries. We all have different names for these things, but usually it's a quiet time. It can be the same time in the day. I like first thing in the morning. We would be early arisers, my wife and I. We're up early. We have a routine. I just like that moment before heading out to work. Many things Is your life made up of many things? And do you have that one thing? One thing is needed. And yet the world says something different, doesn't it? As somebody has said, our Lord says, but one thing is needful. The world says everything is needful, but that one. And there's my friend Bob McAvoy speaking tonight, is it? On Acts 17, the Bereans. And what were the Bereans noted for? They searched the scriptures daily, every day. Not just to have a merry moment two or three times a week, but every day. To read through your Bible. To have that consecutive reading of the Word. And as I say often, starting the 1st of January, finish on the 31st of December, just read your Bible through. And there are different Bible reading programs. I use Robert Murray McShane. I love those merry moments. You need to have a merry moment. And yes, the Martha moments, they are needful. They are necessary each day. But you can't live your life all the time like Martha. There needs to be a balance. Warren Wiersbe said, blessed are the balanced. We have our Martha, our many things, but we need to have that Mary, that one thing, to be alone with God. And just at this visit, when Jesus came to this home, Mary got her priorities right. Martha didn't. How important it is to sit at the feet of Jesus. Deuteronomy 8 and verse 3, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Job 23 verse 12, I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Charles Wesley wrote, faithful to my Lord's commands, I still would choose the better part, serve with careful Martha's hand and loving Mary's heart. And we need both Martha's and Mary's in church. And yes, we have to be a Martha at times. We have to be busy, but we also have to stop being a Martha and be a Mary to feed our souls. Augustine said that Mary was still at sea, but Mary was in port. J.C. Ryle says she was choosing soul benefit. She was seeking more grace. She was striving after nearer and closer communion with God and his Christ. This was the portion which she preferred to everything else, and to which she was willing for a time to postpone all earthly care. Those who seek such a portion shall never be disappointed. Their treasure shall never be taken from them. They were both spiritual women. In John chapter 11, it was Martha who came to Jesus and said, Lord, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died. And Jesus said one of the great statements of his I am the resurrection, I'm in the life, and so on. Do you believe this? Oh, yes, I believe, she said, that you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. But we read also of this Mary. It was her, just before the crucifixion, who anointed the Lord Jesus. And you read of the three accounts in John chapter 12 where she's named as Mary. And in Matthew 26 and in Mark chapter 14. And if you read those three accounts, you'll see wee different shades of the difference, but it gives you the picture. But I want to read Mark 14, Mark's account, verses 3 to 9. And being in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at the table, a woman came. Now Matthew and Mark don't identify the woman, but John does. It's Mary. A woman came having an alabaster flask of very costly oil of spikenard. Then she broke the flask and poured it on his head. But there were some who were indignant among themselves and said, why was this fragrant oil wasted? For it might have been sold for more than 300 denarii and given to the poor. And they criticized her sharply. But Jesus said, let her alone. They criticized her sharply, but I believe Jesus rebuked them. Let her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has done a good work for me. For you have the poor with you always, and whenever you wish, you may do them good. But me, you do not have always. She has done what she could. She has come beforehand to anoint my body for burial. Assuredly, I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be told as a memorial to her. You know, I thought of this Mary, how important she is in the gospel story. How she made sacrifices. She stopped what she was doing and she sat at Jesus' feet. Oh, I'm sure like Martha, she could have carried on her work. She could have carried on. But she made a sacrifice to stop and say, no, I'm sitting at the feet of Jesus while he's here in my home to learn from him. And then she had this expensive ointment that she could have kept. To the disciples, it was just a waste of ointment. It could have been sold and given. 300 denarii was a year's wages to a labourer. It was worth a lot of money. But she anointed Jesus. She has done what she could. She has come beforehand to anoint my body for burial. Assuredly I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be told as a memorial to her. And I was thinking of the Roman Catholic Church. And they have put emphasis upon the wrong Mary. It's not Mary of Bethlehem. I say Bethlehem because that's where Jesus was born. It's Mary of Bethany that we should be promoting. Wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done, what this woman has done, what this Mary has done, will also be told as a memorial to her. She anointed the feet. She anointed the body, the other accounts say, of Jesus, preparing him for burial. Mary had a wee insight here that maybe the disciples didn't have. Preparing him beforehand for his burial. The Mary who learned from the Saviour. That's what we have to do. We can be busy Marthas. But there needs to be time out in a day to be a Mary, to sit at Jesus' feet and learn from him. The Mary who learned from her Saviour. Then turn to Acts chapter 12. We'll see the Mary who was lowly in her service. Acts chapter 12. It is the well-known account of Peter being set free from prison, and what a miraculous deliverance that was. But we'll read from verse 12. And when Mary was come to himself, he said, "Now I know of a surety that the Lord hath sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews." And when he considered this thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. And they said unto her, "Thou art mad." But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then they said, "It is his angel." In his book, All the Men of the Bible, Herbert Lockyer gives this little outline. Peter knocked. Rhoda was shocked. And the disciples mocked. So there's a 3-point sermon for somebody. But give Herbert Lockyer credit. But he came to the house of Mary, the mother of Mark. And related to Barnabas, either a sister or an aunt of Barnabas. But the Mary who was lowly in her service, and this is the only mention of her in this verse. And what do we read about her? But she has an open home. She must have been a wealthy woman, but she used it for the work of God, where many were gathered together praying. She had an open home because she had an open heart. She welcomed the believers into her home. What a fine example of practical Christianity she is. She's a woman of influence. Hebrews 11 and 38, she's one of those of whom the world was not worthy. And that's all we know about her. Peter came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And she will not go unrewarded in eternity. The Mary who learned from her Saviour, the Mary who was lowly in her service. Turn to Romans chapter 16. And we see the Mary who laboured for the saints. I love this last chapter of Romans. Paul mentions 35 people who were of help to him. 35 people. And some of them, there's just wee things said about them. But in verse 6, we have a Mary. Greet Mary, who bestowed much labour on us. And that's it. Nothing more mentioned about her. If you blinked, you would miss verse 6. Greet Mary. And look at all we know about her, who laboured much for us. I glean from a different translations of the Bible, I must say. The ESV says, "A great Mary who has worked hard for you." The NIV says, "Who worked very hard for you." Here was a Mary who was industrious in her church. She wasn't a professing Christian who just came on a Sunday and occupied a pew and then went home and did nothing. She was busy. She loved the Lord, so she laboured for the Lord. What can I do for the one who loved me and gave himself for me? What can I do? Mary, who laboured much for us, she laboured for the saints. Are you like this, Mary? Not content with just coming and occupying a pew and going away, and you hear of different things announced, of different things to be done. And you know, it frustrates a pastor at times when it's the same people who do everything. And you know fine well that there are others in the pew that could give some help, but they never offer any. They don't want to leave their comfort zone. And they leave it to others to do it, and those others are doing everything. Great Mary, who laboured much for us. She was busy for the Lord. And when it says that she laboured much, or she worked very hard for you, it implies strong exertion. So that's all we know about this Mary, is that she was a hard worker in the church. She wasn't a shirker. She was a worker. And one has said that no work for Christ is unnoticed by him or unrewarded. He knows. All we know about her is summed up in a few words. The great Mary, who laboured much for us. 7 words or 8 words in a verse. But the Lord knows all about her. And again, her work will not go unnoticed or unrewarded. So may there be something of these Marys found in each one of us. To sit at Jesus' feet, to have each day that Mary moment in the midst of a busy Martha life, where we just need to each day have somewhere in the day that we can just be with the Word and pray. Take stock. Feed our souls. Strengthen our faith. And by having a Mary moment, it will help us to be like the other two Marys, to show practical Christianity and to work hard in the church for the things of God and for the advancement of his kingdom. May God bless his word to your hearts this morning. We're going to